join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Faith Friends by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Okay, let's go to Mark 2. Mark 2, starting at verse 1. I'm going to let you share with me today.
Thank you.
All right, unless you, did you make your own notes?
All right.
Mark 2, starting at verse 1. It says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Jesus in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born or carried of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, that's broke the roof up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, the faith that was demonstrated by them being persistent enough to get this man in the room, no matter what it took. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, thy son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And you need to go on because in addition to that, he said that people start saying, well, who is this? Who are you to be forgiven sins? How you can't forgive sins. And Jesus said, not only can I forgive sins, he said, get up and walk. So Jesus said, if that upsets you, watch this. And so then, so the man's sins were forgiven. He received salvation, but then he also received healing, which tells us that Jesus is in our wholeness. He's entering our wholeness. Having our sins forgiven help us go to heaven. But our wholeness helps us to live with nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking right here on earth. And so we are continuing. I believe this is part three of Faith Friends. You gave me a title. Was that you gave me the title? Battle Buddies. Battle Buddies. And what was Pastor Chandler's? Ratchet Friends.
Ratchet friends
who tear up roofs to help you.
That's ratchet.
Okay. But we're talking about faith friends, and we're talking about people who, in times of crisis, times of need, that you can depend on to help get you to the next level.
Amen.
Get your needs met, keep you in faith, keep you encouraged. And so hopefully, and even as I've heard dialogue and people corresponding with me in thinking about this whole concept of faith friends, hopefully it's helping you to evaluate who you have in your life. Not for the purpose of necessarily getting rid of people, okay, but maybe adding some people.
Adding people.
Okay, or knowing how to categorize people. Because a person that's good for one thing may not be good for something else.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they're good for nothing.
Exactly.
They're just not good for that thing. You know, your mechanic, he may be a great guy. He just can't fix your toilet if it got a leak.
Well,
okay, it don't mean that he's good for nothing.
Right.
But he's good for the working on your car. He just can't work on your pipes. Are you with me here? So you don't have to necessarily have to get rid of people. You just need to know what people are there in your life for. And sometimes we get messed up because we're expecting people to meet one need and they're not there to meet that need. Or they're not capable of meeting that need.
Right.
So we're talking specifically of evaluating your life and also being appreciative, if you already have them, of faith friends. All of us need faith friends. When we say faith friends, we gave you several characteristics of faith friends. Number one, we said a faith friend is a friend that brings you closer to Jesus versus taking you from Jesus. This man, this paralyzed man who had these four friends, they brought him to Jesus. They brought him to Jesus. They didn't bring him to the club. Okay, they didn't bring him to the party. They brought him to Jesus. Where do your friends, bring you closer to Jesus or they take you further from Jesus? Secondly, we said that a faith friend prays for you. And that a faith friend prays for you and prays with you. They were concerned that this man have his needs met. And a faith friend going to pray for you and pray with you. Just like we saw Daniel, that those friends who we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whose Hebrews name were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that when there was a crisis and the king wanted to know what this interpretation of the dream meant, he went back to his friends and told them, I need y'all to fast with me and to pray for me. Esther had some faith friends that when they were going to exterminate the Jews, she called for her maidens. She said, my maidens, they're going to fast with me. Do you have maidens? The Bible calls them my maidens. Today you call them your girlfriends.
Right.
Your squad.
Your team.
Do you have your team, your squad, your girlfriends, your dolls, whatever you want to call them, who can fast with you? And pray for you. Not just go to a game with you and watch the game with you and drink beer with you. Do you have people who can pray with you?
Mm.
And so we saw Peter and John had faith friends. What was the point? The Bible said when they were threatened, Acts 4:23, they went to their own company. They went to people who could pray for them. Said, listen, I need y'all to pray for me that we continue to have boldness. Okay, and then we even saw that Jesus had faith friends, because when it came time for him to raise that girl from the dead, the damsel who they said was dead, he put everybody out the room except the parents and Peter, James, and John. He specifically took Peter, James, and John with him. He didn't take everybody with him. He took Peter, James, and John with him, some faith friends who could be in the room when you need a miracle.
That's right.
Who could be in the room when all the odds seem like it's against you. Not people just going to... And the thing is, we pointed this out as we ended with that last week. The people that were already in the room, obviously they were friends and family. They cared about parent. Mm-hmm. They cared about the girl, the daughter. That's why they were crying.
Right.
That's why they showed up. Mm-hmm. But when Jesus said the girl's sleeping, okay, they started laughing.
Yeah.
Somehow you can go from one emotion to the next. They started laughing, and Jesus put them out. Because, right, watch this. Now ain't the time to be laughing. Mm-hmm. Now's the time to be believing.
That's right.
Okay? You got some friends you can laugh with. You have a good time with. Mm-hmm. But now's not the time. I don't need laughing right now. I need some serious faith to go in operation.
Right.
So he put all them out, but he kept in there the parents of the child. Who would believe in God for her to live, and Peter, James, and John. Peter had faith friends. So we asked a couple questions among those we ended with last week. During times of crisis or battle, who would you need to put out of the room? Who do you need to put out the room, and who do you need to have in the room?
Man, that's so
who do you need to put out the room, and who could stay in the room?
Right, and you know, that room could be a physical room, or it could be a literal room.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean like, you know, it's the place bringing them into a particular place. I mean, I'm not going to bring you into the knowledge of this information. And sometimes
this place of intimacy.
This place of intimacy where you need a breakthrough or where you need healing or you're battling with something, you know, and you have to realize that this person is not my faith friend. So I'm not going to give them the details regarding the situation because they may speak doubt. I, classic example, I won't mention any names, but when He was dealing with COVID-19. You weren't feeling well, and, you know, I had some people that I knew were battling with it also. And I was like, this is a person I was in relationship with. I'm still in relationship with them, but I realized I can't bring them in.
A different category.
A different category, because at that moment where you were battling, this person made a statement that was so not of faith. Talk about how, you know, well, men are just dying left and right from the disease. I was like, what? I couldn't believe the person said this to me when I said my husband is feeling, you know, has been diagnosed positive. And so at that moment, I did not continue the conversation. You know, I was nice, like, hey, well, I'll talk to you later, because what I realized.
Gotta go.
I didn't need to hear anything negative.
Either you gotta get out of my room, or I gotta get out of your room.
Hello.
And but we can't be in the same room.
We cannot be in the same room. And so I had to make that decision that, you know, I cannot be so concerned about their feelings that I'm gonna put my breakthrough or my healing or whatever I'm believing God for at risk. You know, and so you gotta listen to how people are talking. And so that means from that point on, I stopped sharing information. When you began to struggle, that person I did not talk to.
Right.
Because what they're going to do is reinforce this doubt.
Right. Which brings us to point number three, is that a faith friend believes that your situation can turn around.
That's good.
A faith friend believes your situation can turn around. So a faith friend is going to keep you in hope, keep you in faith, keep you in expectation and anticipation that your situation will turn around. Come on, I want to be your faith friend right now. I declare that whatever negative situation you're going through right now, I agree with you, and I put my faith with you that your situation will turn around in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come on, somebody around you, just encourage
them.
Tell them
your negative situation
will turn around.
Will turn around.
I'm declaring myself to be your faith friend.
It
will turn around.
It will turn around.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Philippians 1:19. This is so interesting. I wasn't planning on pointing this out, but I often talk about Philippians. I often talk about that Paul had a great appreciation for the church at Philippi. Mm-hmm. He says, nobody else communicate with me. Nobody else gives to me. Like, no one else supported me. Nobody else has been with me from the beginning of the ministry and hung in there up until now. Boy, that's a whole nother point. I never saw that. Mm-hmm. He said, from the beginning of my ministry, even until now, you've been supporting me. In other words, there's been longevity with you.
Wow. Yeah.
Some people get on the bus, some people get off the bus, but you've been on the bus. You've been on the bus since the bus line started. Okay.
Amen.
And you haven't gotten off. You're going with me to the end. And so he really appreciated them. And now I'm seeing this another light. Philippians, he saw the Philippians as his faith friends.
Mm.
He said, other people, you know, they're a little shaky. I got to judge their motives. They're not really receiving me. This is not a relationship of reciprocity. Because a real friendship is one of reciprocity. It's not just one taking from the other. It's not just one giving to the other. But in reciprocity, there's giving and receiving from both. Amen.
Amen.
It's giving and receiving, not just some one person being a vacuum to the other person, just sucking everything and taking everything they can from them. And so the church of Philippi, the Philippians, they were people who gave to him, supported him, and they were faith friends that he knew they would be praying for him. So in Philippians 1:19, Paul says, for I know, that means I have assurance, that this shall turn to my salvation. He told me, I've gone through some stuff, and I may be in prison, and I got threats against me, but I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer.
Amen. Amen.
And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He didn't just talk about what Jesus is doing for him. He said, I also know, in addition to what Jesus is doing for you and my faith friends, and this is going to turn around because I know you are praying for me.
Mm.
Do you know that your
Hallelujah.
Friends pray for you? Do you have assurance that things are going to turn around because they are in 100% agreement with you that things will get better?
that the negative will turn to a positive, that the crooked places will be made straight, that the rough places will be made smooth, that every mountain shall be flattened, that every valley shall be exalted. Do they have faith with you that your sickness will turn to healing, that your poverty will turn to prosperity, that your depression will turn to overflowing joy, that your lack will turn to abundance? Come on now. Glory, that's the kind of faith, friends, you need.
Amen.
He said, I know this shall turn to my salvation. It's what the devil's meant for evil is going to be intercepted, because I know you're believing with me.
Glory to God.
So faith friends agree with you for your miracle. They believe that you can do better. That God's going to come, you know. So, talking about single people. Your faith friend may... Don't get mad at them. Your faith friend, they really may believe that you can do better than that buster. And don't get mad at them. No, child, I see more in you. I believe you don't have to settle like this. I believe God could give you a saved man. I know you keep talking about it ain't known in the right direction, but the kingdom of God is bigger than the right direction.
Right. That's right.
I really believe with you, God can give you a saved man. No, you don't have to go back to the one who you broke up with when you got saved, when you really fell in love with Jesus.
Wow.
But now, well, I've been with Jesus running for a long time, and I'm tired now. So I'm going to go back and settle because I don't believe God has somebody for me who is equally yoked with me. Your faith. So don't get mad at your faith friend because they tell you the truth. That's a scripture too. I'm not sure if I put this in here because it's at the end. Mm-hmm. It's another point, but I'm going to use it now. Paul asked a question. He says, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" So sometimes the faith friend, they may tell you the truth of what they really believe in for you. And what they're really believing with you. Amen. So, a faith friend believes that your situation can turn around. These four friends who carried the paralyzed man first to the house, trying to get to the house, when they saw they couldn't get in the house and couldn't get around the crowd, okay, which still tells me they had to make their way through the crowd, but they couldn't get in the door. Some kind of way they climbed up on the roof with the paralyzed man. Made a hole in the man's roof. Which, watch this, which means...
They worked.
That not only worked, not only be inconvenient, but we may have to pay for this. This is a financial investment. Because you ain't tearing up my roof, ain't paying for it.
Wow.
I'm willing to be sued for you.
My goodness.
All that's involved, see, we don't think about all of you.
Yeah.
You don't just tear up somebody's roof. Watch this. As a matter of fact, I might even be willing to be shot for you. I'm just telling you, in these last and evil days, if somebody coming through my roof, you just might get shot. You might have an encounter with something, that Bishop Bailey says, something that barks here but bites there. Okay? They were even putting themselves at all kinds of risk for him. Because they believed if they got him to Jesus, his paralysis, no matter how long he's been like this, his hopeless situation that the doctors of this day could do nothing about, could turn around, and many doctors of our day can't do anything about. There was no stem cell research, but I believe your situation can turn around. We don't have any modern day conveniences of medicine and fix cells and do this, and there's no fusion now they fuse bones together and put rods in it. We don't have all that, but we believe Jesus can do something.
Amen.
So they said, I know, Paul says, I know that through this, that this is going to turn to my salvation through your prayers. So a faith friend believes your situation can turn around. Let's move on here. Let's stay in that point number three there, that a faith friend believes your situation can turn around. Matthew 8, verse 5 through 8. It says, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. Another person was paralyzed, grievously tormented. Now, that could have been physically, mm-hmm. or that could have been spiritually, that could have been mentally, right. because of what he's going through,
right.
depression or whatever. He said he's sick of palsy. That's referring to, I believe, a physical situation, paralyzed. But the griefs he tormented, that could have been spiritual, mm-hmm. mental,
right.
emotionally.
Right.
Verse 7, and Jesus said to the centurion, which means a Roman captain of at least 100 men. He says to him, that also is implying he's not a Jew. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered him. Mm-hmm. This man who was not a Jew, this man who didn't probably know about the Torah and the books of Moses, and then probably possibly didn't know about the faith of Abraham, that Abraham was counted righteous because he believed God. Mm-hmm. But this centurion, Italian soldier who generally didn't have good reputations among the Jewish people because they were known to oppress them. Mm. Oh my goodness.
Well,
the centurions of his day were involved with police brutality.
That's so good.
They didn't have a good relationship.
Yeah.
They weren't friends with the centurions. The centurion answered and said to him, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Okay? I don't know why he felt he wasn't worthy. Could have been his lifestyle. It could be because of what he'd done to people. He said, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, I got to give you a little bit of background on this. Jesus would not have paid this man any mind, nor his servant. But the Bible tells us, I believe in Luke, 21st chapter, that some religious leaders of the Jews came and brought the man to Jesus and said, he's one of the good cops. he's one of the good cops. He said, and he has built us a synagogue. He loves our nation. He loves our people. He doesn't abuse our people. He's done good by our people. And he's built us a synagogue, okay? Which tells me he made financial investments in
right.
God's people, financial investments in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus says, all right, I'll come and heal the man's servant. Mm-hmm. Because they brought him to Jesus.
Right.
And because, watch it, his gift made room for him and brought him before great men. I know I'm seeming like I'm all over the place, but I'm tying this together here. Okay, I need y'all, let me pause there for a moment. Bible says in Proverbs, look that scripture for me. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Okay. There's no greater man you could have been brought before than Jesus Christ. Okay. A man's gift. Now, I need you to understand this in this context, because a lot of preachers preach this and I heard it. Okay. Maketh room. Look up, maketh room.
Change my version.
Okay. A man's gift maketh room for him and bring him before great men. Now, I want you to understand this because I grew up in the church hearing that your gift it has to do with whether you can sing and whether you can preach and all that, okay? It's in Proverbs 18:16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. This gift is not talking about your talent or your ability. Now, that may work too, but that ain't what the scripture's talking about, okay? This, in this context, he's saying a man's gift, his monetary gift, his financial investment will make room for him or open up things for him, open doors for him, and bring him before great men. There's no greater testimony than that. Is the case of this centurion. This centurion invested in God's people, built a synagogue for God's people, and they then brought him before Jesus and said, he has a request, and we want you to do it because he loves our nation. His gift has made room for him. Okay? But I got to go a little deeper here. The centurion wasn't asking for himself.
Wow.
The centurion wasn't asking for his mother like Peter did for his mother-in-law. The centurion wasn't asking for his daughter like the other story I read, the damsel who died.
Right.
The centurion was asking for a servant.
My goodness.
He was friends with his servant. I told you, I heard Bishop Jake say one time, he said, I'm not impressed when I see how people treat me. He said, what impressed me when I see how they treat the people serving them. The people who you think are beneath you. He said, that's really an indicator of your character. Jesus said, one place, he said, how you treat the least of these, that's what I'm looking at. Okay? The ones who you think don't matter, who you have nothing to gain from, that you think they need you more than you need them.
Right.
This man was concerned about his servant. Y'all with me here? He was friends. The centurion was friend with his, not his friend, not his mother, not his daughter, not his brother. He said, my servant lies at home paralyzed.
That's good.
So this man was, so he was being a faith friend. That's what I want you to see, to his servant. He was faith friend to his servant, not his superior, but his servant.
That's so good.
Okay. Are you only friends with people who above you, who you think you get something from? Are you also friends to people who you just need to sow into?
Come on now.
And help and give to. Because you know, I've often thought about this. You know, because I've always taught over the years, you know, I've talked many times about friendships and relationships. You know, I said, you know, you need to have some money friends. Mm-hmm. You need to have some smart friends. You need to have some intelligent friends. You need to have some educated friends. And all that's good. But what they get out of it, do you?
Right.
There needs to be some reciprocity for them, too. Mm-hmm. Okay? And in this case, in some kind of way, he was kind enough, loving enough, concerned enough for his servant.
What kind of friends do you have? Are they friends who bring you closer to Jesus or take you farther away? We all need faith friends who will walk with us through life, the good times and bad. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey and Dr. Marcia Bailey take time to explain what faith friends look like and why we need them in our lives. To order this series, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rdci.info. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.